You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Prime Minister's refusal to increase income support, quite possibly at all this parliamentary term, is a decision that has the potential to impact thousands of New Zealanders. It's a decision that attracted protest from NZUSA alongside groups like UKAN, the Greens and the Opportunities Party. What is it you guys want as a result of these protests?
I think the fundamental issue is that there are thousands of New Zealanders, including children, including students, including parents and grandparents, who are living in poverty because as a country we haven't supported people who are on benefits. We haven't supported students who rely on weekly government support. And we also haven't supported people who are on low-paid poverty wages enough in this country. And we haven't done that because we either haven't increased benefits based on findings of the Welfare Advisory Group, who said that benefits must increase. But we also haven't done enough in the spaces of healthcare and housing, and they, you know, dramatically impact on the amount that families and students have at the end of each week, because they are paying pretty much most of their income each week into their rent, and that is utterly atrocious. So what we do want is we want short-term measures to increase benefit levels before Christmas, but in the long term, we actually need to reform our welfare system so that people can access livable incomes, whether they are in work, whether they are a student, or whether they're on a benefit. We have enough money in this country, we are a rich country, to ensure that every New Zealander can live on livable wages, and it is disgusting that this government, who is all about kindness, isn't actually fulfilling their duties, fulfilling that kindness, and ensuring that people can, you know, live on proper wages and incomes.
And the last Labour, Greens and New Zealand First government introduced a number of portfolios targeting poverty and boasted about things like the child poverty portfolio. Has anything actually changed over the last 3 or 4 years as a result of this?
Definitely not. I mean, these issues are systemic issues in our society. They require far more than just the creation of new ministerial portfolios. They require strong action, and actually quite simple action. You know, a really important quick fix would be the doubling of benefits. That would ensure that people have enough to live on each week. It also extends to students. You know, the current living cost that students can access each week is $239.76. The average rent in cities like Auckland and Wellington is $215 for a room in a flat that is probably mouldy and uninsulated. That leaves, you know, $24 for students to spend on all the other living expenses they face week to week. That is disgusting. When the Prime Minister says things like, you know, our country benefits when everyone is trained and educated, and acknowledges herself that the week-to-week cost of living is a massive barrier to students and New Zealanders either continuing or picking up study, we need to address the very issue that, you know, puts this as a barrier in the first place. And that's the fact that the government only gives students pittance each week based on the cost of living in order to survive. And that needs radical change as well.
This year has been a mess, to say the least, with a huge increase in people losing their jobs and becoming dependent on the unemployment benefit because of COVID. The holiday period is already a hard time for some people. How have you found that COVID has made things harder for people?
I mean, I think Iona Halsted, the Secretary of Education, said it very well herself when she said that COVID-19 hasn't caused the inequity in our society, it has exposed the inequity in our society. Students have been living in poverty for years. Thousands of New Zealanders have been living in poverty for years. What COVID did was that it brought to light the fact that this happened in New Zealand, because many people were in denial of the fact that tertiary students and that families are living in poverty. What COVID did, especially to students, was that it essentially stopped income from part-time or full-time jobs that students need in order to survive, because the weekly government support only just covers their rent, if that. And many students were in a position where, because of the transience of their work and their lives. You know, they have very employment that is not secure by any means. They lost their job straight away, and they weren't actually able to access the wage subsidy because many were getting paid under the table, and they were working multiple jobs, and as a result, they didn't get that support in order to go, you know, to continue studying and to continue living with dignity during the lockdown. We heard, you know, hundreds and if not thousands of stories from students saying, I can barely afford to live. I'm staying in my bed because I can't afford to turn on the power, the heater. I can't afford to buy nutritious food to keep me going. You know, they were in dire situation. And then the government came through with a support package of increasing $1,000 of a student's debt each week. You know, that was completely unacceptable. Yes, we did get good wins in terms of a $20 million hardship fund and a $20 million technology fund, but they came in too late. And also, we shouldn't rely on hardship funds in order to top up weekly government support that is actually called living costs and should meet the weekly living costs of students. What we do need is to change the system so that A, students can access an amount that actually relates to the living costs required to live, especially in our big cities that are so extraordinarily expensive, and also so that it's accessible. You know, full-time students are the only ones that can access living costs. There are age barriers that mean that many people can't access it. It's means tested if you want to access the student allowance until the age of 24 based on your parents' income. You know, all those factors hinder many people being able to continue studying or begin studying in the first place. And that's a real issue that this government needs to solve.
And struggles around the holiday period, particularly in regards to students, is an issue that's constantly brought up every year. Why has nothing changed?
I think that one of the biggest reasons why nothing has changed is that there is this myth, this narrative in our society that tertiary students are wealthy people and that they, in the holidays, they go back to their family home, they get some work, they're able to survive, they're able to have fun. Actually, tertiary students are not just 18 to 21-year-olds. They are parents. They are grandparents. They are people studying for, this perhaps the second time. They're people midway through their career wanting to do something else. They're people with children, you know. We have to get out of the mentality that people can go back home and just, you know, miraculously get a job. Things are really tough for many people, especially those that don't fit into that stereotype of what a student is. So we really need to get out of that mindset because the government is currently blinded by that particular stereotype, and they think because students can go back to their parents, that they can rely on their parents to top up their weekly living costs, that tertiary students are rich and are not in need of government support. That is false, and as a society we need to know that students range from, you know, 18 right up to into their 70s. They are parents, they are grandparents, they have duties to their family and to dependents. Some are working part-time, some are full-time, you know, some are equally studying full-time and part-time. Students are a real diverse group of people, and I think that that is the single biggest barrier to the government actually supporting us, is the narrative, the myth of who a student is.
And so we touched on this in the beginning, and my final question, what changes need to be made? An increase in benefit support, an increase in student allowance is a short-term solution, but what else needs to be done in the long term to alleviate poverty, and student poverty in particular, around Aotearoa?
I think in terms of student poverty, we know that the biggest barrier to people continuing studying or starting studying is the really expensive week-to-week cost of being a student. We need a universal education income, which is a universal payment available to full-time and part-time students in New Zealand that is set at livable rates so that people are not required to work on top of full-time or part-time study, and that it's available to everyone, that you don't have to jump through the bureaucratic layers of the welfare system in order to access support. Students need dignity, and one way that we can afford them dignity is ensuring that they have enough to live on each week. Beyond just student poverty, we need to address other poverty, general poverty in New Zealand. The ways that we do that is not only by increasing benefits and doubling benefits, we also need to address the housing crisis, things around our healthcare and transport costs, because they really impact on the other costs that people face week to week. But I think housing generally is one that we really are in desperate need to tackle. Students and families and children are living in cold, mouldy houses, and that is completely unacceptable in this country. We need to ensure that people are not paying really high rents just to live in a city or a town in New Zealand. People need to have affordable rents and live in houses that are warm and dry and keep them safe. And this government needs to do that urgently.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.